Hi, and welcome to the TYG Podcast, episode 18. It seems like just yesterday that we started out, and now electronic voices have replaced our own. Well, that's not true, but in time I'll take your eyes. I mean, take it away, guys.
Alright, so, this is TYG 18, and that was my wonderful iPad Heather introducing
that was
it.
The sound of me face palming.
What did you name her?
Heather?
That's the name of the voice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, could be anything, but hey. So we're back.
It's funny, my GPS is and
we're here,
is Daniel.
And we haven't seen each other in the longest time.
Yeah. No, we haven't.
Yeah, it seems like it was only yesterday we were recording War Game Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that was yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, does anybody have anything they want to talk about? What have you been up to?
Well, the review for Ninja Gaiden 3 just went up, so I can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, Ninja Gaiden 3, I don't know, if you read the review, you can already tell that I didn't like it that much. It's an okay game, but it's like, if you're a fan of the Ninja Gaiden series and you try to play this, you are going to be very disappointed, because they took out
everything that made it good?
No, they didn't take out everything that made it good. They took out everything that the fans loved about Ninja Gaiden. Like, people
so
played it
so everything that made it good, then.
Wasn't that game supposed to be, like, rocket science hard?
Yeah, that's just the thing. Like,
so it's not rocket science hard anymore?
It's not rocket science hard.
It's no longer Nintendo hard.
Yeah, it's like pretty much all the systems are still in there, so if you wanted to do all the fighting and be like, okay, I'm going to do all this massive combos and all these guys, you know, dodge here, then go behind him and stab this other guy, you could still technically do that. There's just no point, because you could just press attack, 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 and just kill everybody.
So it plays like Fable 3 is what you're saying.
No, it doesn't play like Fable 3. It plays like
Fable 3 here at TYG.
That fucking game.
It kind of plays like God of War. Though I do sort of like how, like, once you're beating on enemies enough that you'll start, like, pretty much cutting them down in one hit, and then you'll go to the next guy and just cut him down. That is fun, but when all you do in that game is literally fighting, because they took out any means of there's no reason to explore, there's no reason to, you know, hunt for experience or essence, because it's just not in the game.
So you just go from one fight to another fight to another fight.
Pretty much.
Another fight.
So it's just
and
a bunch
those
of
fights. You can pretty much just hit attack repeatedly.
You know what? Like, I don't know about you guys. Do you guys ever play Shadow of the Colossi?
I never played that.
No, but it's, like, amazing.
Yeah.
I've heard of it.
Have you guys played it?
No. I've seen walkthroughs of it on YouTube. But
I actually liked the whole thing is boss fights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I actually like the in-between serenity of going from one fight to another, where it's, like, there's no, like, minions in between. There's none of that. Like, it's literally just
you, your horse.
You, your horse, and
like,
you're
open
going.
Fields and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, and you're going to the next fight. Like, I actually, I don't know, there was just something nice about
yeah,
that.
And that game is one of the fucking
and then after
games.
A while you start fucking around and trying to figure out a way to get your horse to throw itself off a cliff.
Yeah, well,
pretty much.
That's what I
that
did
pretty
in,
much there's apparently like a whole secret garden I didn't even know about that you have to like do push-ups or something to get
do push-ups?
Yeah, I don't know. I obviously
you
wasn't going to stand there doing no, pull-ups. Sorry, pull-ups.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't
was
standing
say,
there
like
working out my pull-up meter so that I could figure out how to get to the secret garden.
That sounds like Metal Gear or fucking doing P90X or something. Like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, I don't know.
All I know is the state of gaming is getting really depressing.
State of gaming is getting depressing.
I don't think it's that depressing, but I think certain things that are happening are depressing.
Oh, I think it's pretty depressing.
I think it's pretty depressing. I think it's pretty depressing when Capcom comes out and
oh,
says
that's
that
fucking terrible.
They are switching from making survival horror games, which they've kind of already done.
Yeah,
they look at it.
You could pretty much
yeah.
Like,
we're
Resident
make,
Evil
we're
4
make
is not a survival horror as Resident Evil 2 and 3 and 1.
Yeah.
No, Resident Evil 4 was still
but not the same. Not the same scope.
No, you're right. It was more survival horror than 5 was.
Yes.
That's for
a
sure.
A lot more. 5 was
the only time
four,
I was actually
zombies.
Like, I might not survive was when I was in the water and the alligators were like spontaneously jumping up and eating your face.
That was retarded.
In Resident Evil 5?
Yeah.
Other I also thought that, those times where there were those, I don't know what then, I don't even remember, but there were these enemies that would like open up and then just fucking mince you
yeah,
up.
Those guys, you need to shotgun them when they do
those that. Were, that was near the end of Resident Evil 5.
All I know is Resident Evil 5, though fun, was not like a survival horror.
Resident Evil 4 started off really
oh, yeah.
amazing with
oh,
like the
I
town
did.
They're all attacking you until yeah. the bell goes off. And, like, you don't know that when you first play the game.
Well, like, the fuck's going on? They just keep coming.
They just keep coming. You're like, what am I supposed to do? What is going on? That's surviving. Like,
yeah.
That was the essence. Because you don't know what the fuck's going to
yeah,
happen.
That's the thing. As long as
when
you
play it again, it kind of gets lost a little bit because you know the bell's eventually going to go
yeah.
off. But the first time you're playing that and the zombies just keep coming at you, you're like climbing on top
is
of
the that guy with the chainsaw
shit.
And you're like, how the
yeah,
fuck?
Yeah, and you're running in
I
circles trying to get away
shots.
From him. Like,
the fuck am I going to do with 26 fucking
that's demons? Surviving, but like
yeah.
this new shit is not like that.
And like making Resident Evil into like a Call of Duty clone doesn't work. Because that's like Left 4 Dead. We already have Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I read your article about this, and like, I read what the developer was saying. The developer was basically, was like, yeah, we were making survival horror games, but we think there's more money in making a mediocre Call of Duty clone, so we're just going to do that, because we don't give a fuck what the fans think.
And basically, what I got from that was an overall lack of confidence in their ability to make a good game. That's essentially what I read from that. It's like, you know, we're not going to stick with what we have, what we've been doing. What we're going to do is, we're going to just make a game that has a big market, and then even if we take a small piece of that big market, we'll make more money than if we made a good game in a smaller market.
Well, the thing is, making a good game takes a fucking lot of time.
Well, no, but
if you look at the return on investment, you're kind of fucked.
You're right, but the whole thing is, I think this is emblematic of the problem with large publishing companies across several forms of media. Because basically what the guy was saying in the interview was like, you know, in big game publishing, it takes, you know, we spend so much money and time making a game and have to hype it that we have to sell gajillions of units in order to make it profitable. So instead of trying to make stuff that's original and intelligent and challenging, we're just going to make mediocre dreck and cram it down your throats with television advertisements. It's just like, I mean, how many times have we sat around bitching that, you know, you can't find anything decent in the movie theaters? Why? Because it costs the studio. Studios say it costs so much to make a movie now that they won't take a risk on making anything actually original. So all we get is fucking remakes of remakes of remakes of remakes.
Or they give the Wayans brothers $50,000 and they make a $3 billion movie.
Right. Or, you know, in the music industry,
they need more Wayans.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the music industry, why do you turn on radio stations? Like, either you hear like 17 top 40 stations that all play the same bullshit.
You know how many times
have they been paid to play
cycling stations and Lady Gaga is on three fucking stations at the same fucking time, the exact same song?
Or you get rock stations that have been playing the same music continuously for 20 years. I mean, like, in our area, we have a rock station that's supposed to play, like, new rock. They stopped playing new rock 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You turn the thing on, all you hear is shit from the 90s or bands that sound like they were made in the 90s.
Actually, you know what? Everybody has a 90s new music. I thought it was just one station, and then I started flipping around, because I drive between 12 and 1 usually every day to work.
Uh-huh.
And literally, like, four stations out of the six that I have programmed on my thing have 90s nooners. Like, holy fuck, I have an original idea or something.
Right, but
like,
it's the same thing with the music publishing companies as the film publishing companies as the game publishing companies. Book publishing companies. All these guys are on the same track of mind. They think to themselves, well, we can take a lot of mediocre bullshit that'll appeal to, like, the lowest common denominator, put as minimal investment into making it as possible, and cram it down people's throats with large advertising campaigns, and they'll eat it up because they don't have any better alternatives.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
You know?
And that's why Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 is the most sold game ever.
Yeah.
Or is it Black Ops? No, Black Ops was pretty high up, but Modern Warfare 3 beat it recently.
Point is, a fucking Call of Duty game is the highest selling game of all time, which is fucking terrifying.
And you know, I enjoy those games myself too. Like, I'll play them, but it's kind of infuriating that you're not getting, you know, the stuff that you used to. Like, even Silent Hill nowadays, like, those used to be horrors.
But gee, children are learning how to ration ammo. That's important.
I actually...
Not in Call of Duty.
I really enjoyed playing Silent Hill 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I thought they were...
Oh, those are amazing games.
The storylines were pretty eccentric.
Well, but if you actually, like... I mean, I haven't played the first three Silent Hill games, but I was so interested in the story that I actually watched full playthroughs of all three games on YouTube just so I could see the story, because it's actually interesting. If you understand that the actual story behind the first three Silent Hill games, it's actually fucking fascinating. Mm-hmm. There's actually, like, it's really interesting... deep psychological horror.
Yeah, but that's when they had to make good stories.
The best horror is psychological horror.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because really, there's really nothing scarier than something that will fuck with your mind like that. Like, things just popping out is great. It's great for that whole scare effect then.
When you go
home, you forget about that. But when you're thinking about shit that's actually, like, embedded in your mind... That's what really fucking gets you.
It's when you fuck with yourself.
Well, then you're fucking with yourself. Like, you know, you're... brushing your teeth. They just plant fucking, the you're seeds. Worried about what that's the fuck's going to be great. Behind you.
For those of you that shit have played like the first three Silent Hill games, the answer to the question of what the hell is going on is the answer to the question of why are the monsters in the second Silent Hill game different, but they're the same in the first and third Silent Hill game.
Yeah.
That's what you got to be asking yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's actually pretty...
It's all about Harry Mason.
That's technically a plot giveaway, but yeah, no. That's pretty good. Yeah,
Harry Mason's my boy.
Well, I mean, I have no idea what he's haven't really spoiled anything.
No, you haven't
like,
spoiled anything, but it shows you that there's links, yes. But
the point is that shit doesn't happen anymore.
That's the thing, though. Like, Silent Hill, it fell off a cliff because when Resident Evil started, well, Resident Evil 4 specifically started, like, selling, Konami was like, holy shit, we're going to lose our shit. And they decided we're going to try and copy Resident Evil 4.
That was a stupid decision.
But they couldn't copy Resident Evil 4's formula, so they went into obscurity. Now, I know how you're saying, like, okay, Capcom's saying they're going to make it more of an action game. They're going to make a Call of Duty clone. They're probably not going to make a Call of Duty clone. They're probably just going to make another Resident Evil 5 or another Resident Evil 4 that's more action-y.
But the problem is it's going to be a first-person shooter action game with horror.
No, it's not going to be a first-person
shooter. Tacked on. No, okay, fine. It'll be an action game with horror tacked on rather than a horror game with action.
Yeah, but Resident Evil, we already know what that is.
You know
what
the last fucking horror game that actually made me like legit scared was? Fucking Alan Wake. You know why?
Darkness was kind of scary. But
bro, you couldn't see fuck all.
You know what?
There were times you had the flashlight, and the flashlight didn't let you see fuck all.
Yeah, no, yeah. You know what?
And that's one thing I wanted to bring up specifically about Silent Hill. Silent Hill did the best because did its best because it worked within the limitations of the systems that it was on. And this brings me to another point, which I'm going to bring up in a little bit. There was shit tons of fog in Silent Hill, but that worked with the atmosphere. It was like the fog was there not only to hide the fact that the systems just couldn't push the 3D graphics that they were trying to pull off, but also because it gave atmosphere to the games.
It did get. When it's a foggy night where we live, first thing I say is, like, fucking Silent Hill over here.
Actually, that's
what you do association I have. Say that.
Yeah.
You say that.
I mean, I think that's actually kind of connects to this, that, you know, as these systems have been pushing for more and more graphics, it's kind of raised the barrier to entry for producing games, for the time and investment it takes to make them. I think that's a large part of the answer for why games have become so kind of concentrated into, like, narrow genres and becoming clones of each other, because it just takes so much monetary and time investment to make games. I mean, look at RPGs today. The length of RPGs today, for the most part... We'll leave aside the, like, Elder Scrolls series because they're crazy. But, like, for the most part, RPGs have gotten way shorter than they used to be, in large part because it takes so much more dev time to actually make these environments and these high level of graphics than it used to.
I really miss a good RPG.
Honestly, though?
Yeah. Tell me about it.
And I'm pretty sure I've taken dumps longer than my playthrough of Fable 3. I finished that game.
Yeah, but, like,
I'm not joking. It was literally,
you
like...
You can actually play games while sitting on the toilet.
Like, yeah.
Your basement is set
up for that. You can play it.
Oh, can I say something? Speaking of good RPGs, Solomon's Keep for iPhone is a great fucking RPG.
It is a very good RPG,
back to, like, simple, classic sort of style. It's fairly contained. It's a dungeon crawler. It's got a point A and a point B. It's a good fucking game that I probably beat, like, four different times because you can specialize your character differently. But that's the power of simplicity. And actually, I want to raise the point. That's why I like that there are platforms like iOS and Android happening at the same time that these consoles are getting super advanced.
Yeah.
Is that they show that you can get a lot out of keeping it simple. You can have good quality games. Fucking Angry Birds had me going for like 2 weeks when I first played it.
It's like Minecraft.
It's so simple. Yeah, exactly.
That game is fugly and so simple.
Yeah,
I'm
pretty excited for Minecraft.
I've played more hours of Minecraft than any other game in the last
That's why these digital platforms that these systems have, like PlayStation Network, Xbox Live Arcade, even the 3DS eShop nowadays with games like Pushmo and
just not Origin.
Mighty Switch Force and stuff. Even the PSN, they got great games coming out for them, and that's why I like the systems we have now to a certain extent, because they have space for both these high-budget titles and also these, like, you know, small indie titles. Like, Steam especially is great for these things, because you can literally just put... You don't need a publisher. You could just put stuff on Steam right now, and it's great for that.
I actually
said
that...
It's also really good about the Kickstarter thing.
I actually said at the end of my article about how a lot of the games that I've played recently that I've really enjoyed and stuck with for a while were the actual, like... low budget indie games.
And honestly, I hope Kickstarter like becomes like a more prominent thing.
Yeah.
But that like fucking companies just cut out the fucking publishers and fucking go straight to the fans.
But the thing is, like, the problem is that there's too much money involved for these people to be putting money into projects that might fail. I mean, we see companies live and die off of these things. Like, more recently, there was a large amount of layoffs at Obsidian, who basically what they did was they made Fallout New Vegas,
which is a bad game.
But because they didn't reach a Metacritic score of like 86%, instead they hit like 85.
That really not.
They didn't get ZeniMax, the people who own Bethesda, didn't give them a certain amount of money, because if they didn't reach a certain amount of Metacritic score, they didn't get a certain amount of money. It was like, you can only get this much. So they literally got screwed out of any like residuals for sales for that game. So it's just like, and that was a fantastic game. Fallout New Vegas, for all of its problems, was a fantastic
game. That's the picture I had.
But I think the great irony in all of this is, you know, all the publishers talk about this, about like, you know, the amount of time and money they have to invest in games and why they try and play it so safe. But what's the net result we see of these companies try to do this? They make a lot of really mediocre games, and in every segment where there's all these mediocre games, the majority of them fail because they're crap. They have nothing to carry them besides their advertising. I mean, why else would there be like a thing we're going to post on our site at some point of all the companies that EA has destroyed once they bought?
Yeah, pretty
right?
much.
Right? Like, who thinks that Capcom is actually going to succeed by turning Resident Evil into a generic action game? Who thinks this is going to work as an idea?
That's just the thing. They're not. Because Call of Duty has the throne because it's Call of Duty. It's the popular one. The only reason Battlefield has a chance is because they had a little bit of, like, name recognition from back in the days when it was a pretty damn big PC game.
Yeah.
But companies like THQ, who tried to start a new franchise like Homefront, that had such a marketing push behind it. It even had a fantastically interesting concept of, like, you know, what if Korea took over the United States and it was an occupied United States? Like, what was that movie? Red Dawn, but with Korea instead of Russia.
Exactly the same concept. Mm-hmm.
But that game wasn't that good. So it was just like, okay, it's like COD, but it's not as good as COD. So why should I buy this? Why should I pay $60 for this game?
It's the same reason that and I haven't bought entire a team Final got, game in yeah. fucking 10 years.
The entire team
shit.
Got laid off.
Yeah.
So you got companies living and dying, but they're still making this, like, you know?
Yeah, well, it's just like Hollywood. The studios are all complaining that, like, they can't make money selling tickets in movie theaters now. But so they're trying all these stupid gimmicks with, like, 3D re-releases and crap like that. But, like, they wonder, why are so many fewer people going to the movies these days? I don't know. Maybe it's because 3/4 of the movies are... No, 90% yep. of the movies are terrible.
Yeah.
I haven't been to the movie theater in, like, a year and a half. The last thing I saw in theater that I didn't regret spending my money on was Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which
wow.
was made in Europe.
It's a fucking bad
people
movie.
Who don't give
I didn't
a
even
fuck about
fucking
the American
hear
studio
this movie until my brother movie. Handed it to me and goes, watch this movie.
It's fucking
and
amazing.
I'm like, I don't even know what this is. And
but
like,
everything that made that movie
phenomenal.
Good
phenomenal.
Was because it was made outside of the studio
oh,
system.
Fuck.
It's true.
Yeah. The best movie
I want to chime in on this because like
minutes.
I'm involved
yeah,
in this.
You know film, dude.
So it's
you
true.
Know film,
the European film industry, especially France, has always had the balls to do things without living in fear of the kind of studio system which resides in North America. They're not afraid to be experimental, even to their detriment. But ultimately, they make a lot of great films, most of which you have to go to the specialty theater or wait until a festival comes around to even see, or dig on the internet like you do for anime to fucking watch. It's kind of sad. And you know what? North America makes some good stuff. Some good stuff. But I gotta say, as a person who's budding into the industry, it's a pretty scary prospect that the North American film industry is pretty much in shambles right now.
Yeah.
Hollywood is churning out, for the most part, shit.
That's putting it lightly.
Ninja Turtles?
It's putting it lightly. Okay, well,
yeah.
Exactly. But I also want to, like, you know,
the only good remake I've seen is 21 Jump Street.
You were saying that these
but comedies are pretty timeless. Like, as long as you have good writers who could write good jokes, you could potentially
movie,
remake comedies.
You can remake comedies because you just relate it to what's going on
but
now.
But
you're going out there and you're good to go.
That movie was like, that was a cut above, though. You have to give that movie credit.
Yeah.
That movie didn't slow down at all.
But let's say the upcoming Total Recall remake.
No desire.
What is
Black movie?
Why?
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's like the new Men in Black movie. Nobody wanted this. You know what I do want?
Oh, God, the new Man in Black.
I want a sequel to I Am Legend. Why didn't that happen?
Because no one cares.
No, you know what I want? I don't want any more fucking sequels. Try having an original fucking thought. How hard would that be?
Just get Soul Plane 2. It's fine. Soul Plane 2.
Oh, God.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of movies, I have 26. A hilarious little point for you guys. Oh, I don't know what the movie's called, but I was talking about, like, what was that movie called? Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, right?
Yeah.
With Steve Carell, the pre-apocalypse.
It's still in draft.
I'm not posting it.
Oh.
So cut that out. But anyways.
Can I delete the draft? Because I cleared the draft.
By all means. But it's funny because...
What?
That was the first movie I ever heard about.
Yeah, we're allowed to be made up.
That was the first movie I ever heard about, like, people's reactions to the pre-apocalypse. Regardless of the fact that it's a fucking rom-com, probably. With Steve Carell.
It's definitely a rom-com.
But not... And this other movie's probably also been in the work for a long time, but there's another movie about the pre-apocalypse coming out. But this one's got Willem Dafoe in it. So, like, I saw the trailer for this, and I don't know what the movie's called, but, like, actually, no, I think it's, like, The World Ends at 4:44 or something like that. I don't even know how to explain this. So I challenge anyone who's listening to this and the people in this room to look for this trailer, watch the trailer, and not think, wow, Willem Dafoe's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, but that's already a well-established fact.
Yeah,
Willem Dafoe's kind of fucked up.
I'm watching this trailer, and it's him trying to be serious about the fact that the world's going to end at 4:44 or something, and it's just like, I'm thinking he's going to be like, Spider-Man or something. I've typecast him as the Green Goblin in my mind.
He was pretty crazy in Boondock Saints.
Yeah, I did not see Boondock Saints.
I love that movie.
I do like that movie. I thought that was a good movie.
Did you watch the sequel?
No, I didn't. Because
I didn't even know there was a sequel.
I have no patience for that.
But of course there is a sequel. Just like there's, like, what, 12 sequels to The Land Before Time?
Well,
I might be understating it. There's probably,
don't
like,
talk shit about The Land Before Time.
Hey,
there's more Land Before Time,
but it's an educational children's
cartoon. The fucking Marvel's eaten, bro.
For all that big budget, high profile shit you were talking about, regardless of the format that you're referring to, there is an equal and opposite, independent body that will put something out that's great, and they have less stress and less pressure and more enthusiasm. Maybe that's not fair, but what I'm saying is that there are people who deeply respect the value of art and how much people crave good storytelling and the satisfaction despite the medium, and there are people who gravitate too much towards the business side, and then one thing suffers. It's a balance, because art and business are always going to be intermingled.
Well, sure.
It's as simple as,
like,
that.
I totally agree with you. I mean, listen, I mean, my own musical tastes tend to run towards stuff that basically you will never ever hear on the radio. It's like basically mostly industrial and various subgenres of metal, but, like, you know, my favorite band is just the band originally from Germany, KMFDM. I'm actually wearing one of their t-shirts right now, but, like, the whole thing that
sponsor
makes them
us
unique.
Lorenzo's not even wearing a shirt right now.
No,
he's just showing us his bare manly 12 pack chest.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right.
And he's, like, pouring chocolate syrup on him.
Fucking
mic.
Please make it stop.
He's
anyway,
to
and the whole thing that makes them great is every time a major studio came calling, wanted to give them a record deal, they basically started throwing heavy objects at them until they left the studio. So they own their name, their entire catalog, everything. So they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
They make whatever kind of music they want. Nobody can tell them, you have to make this more radio friendly.
Yeah. And that's
right?
That's the beautiful thing about, like, where things are going now towards digital distribution, because you already got people who... They can publish their music on iTunes. They can publish their music on Bandcamp. They don't need these giant publishers to do this sort of thing.
Right.
So
hope all those fucking executives.
I was fiddling with fucking GarageBand on the iPad, and, like, I can make a fucking album with GarageBand.
I know.
I get an adapter and, like, record all my shit and put it in sequence.
I do it every
stuff.
Time I go
it's
to
crazy.
Watch it.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good that technology
really good.
In that respect enables us to
you're
be
welcome,
a little freer,
Mike.
And independent.
That was for you.
Yeah.
Right? So there actually it's kind of funny that the bigger and vaguer these big corporations get, there's, like, this equal or proportionate movement with independence because they're now enabled to do so.
Yeah.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm happy about
support
that.
Support independent artists, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like us.
Go to film festivals.
Yeah, like, if
check out music that's not on the radio.
Exactly.
Go to TYG.com.
Exactly. We're independent. We're motherfucking independent.
Sponsor us.
Wow, okay.
We are fucking poor.
Yeah.
That's what we are.
Basically, if you can use SoundHound on your iPhone to identify the song you're listening to, you're doing it wrong.
But everyone's got their own taste. So if you like listening to Lady Gaga talk about a banana... Or is that Lady Gaga? I don't even fucking know who it is.
It's a disco
You're
stick.
Asking me?
By all means,
I know.
It's a
that's
disco
fine.
Stick.
Like, I honestly... as I've grown older, I've learned to just not give a shit about what music is for the most part. Like, if I listen to it and I like it, I'll listen to it. Like,
more recently,
I've been listening to like a fucking dubstep remix of Jurassic Park, where the guy just keeps saying "clever girl" over and over.
That's
again.
Wicked.
That's awesome.
So, like, for some
that's
reason,
like the best song I've heard.
For some reason, I started liking dubstep when back in the day I would just listen to nothing but Nirvana and fucking. Metallica
but now
shit.
You can't listen to Nirvana because they're always on the edge. And you
no, I can't. I can't listen to Nirvana because every 5 minutes I hear like,
Metallica just depresses me
honestly,
so much.
The ghost of Kurt
That's
Cobain
a whole podcast.
Must be so restless.
Yeah, don't bring up the joke. Please don't bring up the joke.
Okay, let's do jokes.
Yeah,
it's too serious.
Let's bring it down and then bring it back up.
Yeah, lame joke.
Oh, Metallica.
Metallica. Hey-o.
Come on.
That was pretty good.
Letdown.
All right, lame joke. We're going to bring it down for real. What washes up on tiny beaches?
I don't know.
Microwaves.
Oh my god, that's terrible.
Yeah.
the late process.
I was like, I don't fucking get it. And I'm like, aw, you fucking.
Aw, fuck you.
Okay, good joke. And then
it better
there.
Be fucking good.
Yeah. Little Johnny's dad is sitting on the.
Why is it always Little Johnny?
Okay, fine. Little G's dad is sitting on the side of the bed, rolling
so
on a
loud.
Condom, about to give his wife some.
Wow.
Little G sticks his head in the door, sees his dad, and says, what you doing? G's dad stoops over to cover up his dick and starts looking at the floor.
True story.
Oh, I'm just looking for this big rat I saw, he says. Little G says, what you gonna do, fuck it?
There's no real punchline to that.
That sneaks up on you.
True story.
Well, I bet you're regretting that interjecting in the beginning of that
joke.
My dad was drunk as fuck when I was like created, so
moving on. Tell us about mechs.
Okay, so I've been watching a lot of watching a lot of mecha anime in the last little while. Starting with I rewatched the first Pat Labor movie
Sailor
the
Moon
review I put on the site. That's not a mecha anime.
Yes.
Anyway,
I've actually seen that movie. It's very good.
Yeah, I know. it's a great movie.
I wasn't sure how to pronounce it. It's Pat Labor.
Yeah, Pat Labor. Okay. Yeah, it's like patrol labor, but like shortened into.
See,
labor.
I thought
anyway.
It was something completely different because when I first saw it, I saw it on Teletoon. They were like Pat Labor 2. I'm like. Huh?
That's
because it's Teletoon and they don't know how to
speak
Japanese.
Thank you, Teletoon. Yeah, because they speak French.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry.
Anyhow. Anyway, the point is, you know, I've seen a lot of mecha anime. I've seen almost the entire Gundam franchise. Okay? So I've seen almost the entire Gundam franchise. So I've seen a lot, you know, and I've seen Full Metal Panic and I've seen
Ghost
a couple of
the
macro
shell.
Series. No, that's not really a mecha anime. There's a couple of mecha in it, but that's not really... Anyway, the point is, you know, I've watched all of these things, and in all of these universes, you've got mecha being put to a military use, but if you really stop and think about it for a second, it doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, you know, you've got... Okay... You've got these giant walking machines that are anywhere between 30 and 50 feet tall, okay? And this is going to go up against a tank. Well, let's see. The tank has a much lower frontal profile, and because it's much more compact, it can have much thicker armor, and it's a much smaller, narrower, more defended target to shoot at, but it can shoot back at this giant fucking 50-foot standing target that's there like, what's up? Like, how does this make any sense that this would actually work in any real military context?
Because it's anime.
Are you saying,
it doesn't
so
matter.
It's not fair?
No, it just doesn't make practical
feasible.
Sense.
Like, it's going backwards militarily.
Yeah,
basically,
militarily speaking.
It's the thing. Tanks are good, but horses are better.
Right. Because it's like, you're talking about a giant standing target that presents 50 feet by like 15 feet across that you can shoot at versus a tank which has got like 8 feet by like 6 feet that's way more thicker armor and can mount a bigger gun because it's a tracked vehicle that doesn't have to worry about remaining standing.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, okay, granted, in the Universal Century Gundam universe, they actually went really far in terms of trying to develop a scientific explanation to make the mechs make sense. You know, they invented a whole kind of physics that meant that you had to fight at visual range, and you couldn't have, like, radar targeting of missiles, and you couldn't have all sorts of things that's to sort of kind of create a physics explanation for why the mechs make sense. It's just that in any practical context, there should be self-evident to anyone that's, like, anything a mech that can fly around in space can do, a ship can do better. Because it can move faster and it doesn't have to have arms and legs.
Yeah, but they're cool. That's
yeah,
the
I know.
Line.
Yeah, like if you're,
know,
a tank,
I'm not denying.
A tank can't jump kick someone in the face.
Yeah, no, right. I'm not denying.
But you have to survive getting shot
yeah,
by like
I'm not
six
denying
tanks
the entertainment
jump
factor. I'm not denying the entertainment factor. Don't get me wrong. There's quite a few mecha anime I actually quite like.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, you know, it doesn't really make that much practical sense if you actually really stop and think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's
no,
also,
I
think you said it, purple hair that defies gravity
yeah,
and
no,
eyes that are
right.
bigger than your
no,
tits.
Right. No, granted. I mean, I'm not expecting a level of, I'm not expecting a level of realism from anime that aren't striving
yeah.
for a level of realism.
Right.
There are some, however, that actually do try to strive for that realism. But to me, the part that makes me laugh more is when people talk about when is this shit going to actually get developed in real life. I'm just going to laugh at the first time somebody tries to field
yeah.
a 30-foot walking mech on a battlefield and six tanks ram shells up its ass the instant it's in sight.
Yeah, like, unless they somehow defeat, like, unless they somehow make some sort of alloy that could withstand tank shells.
Right.
But at that point, then
why
the tanks will
alloy?
Just
have
that.
On the tanks.
Let's
exactly.
talk about the best film in the Matrix series, number 3.
What?
Jeez. I'm joking. It's a joke. Sarcasm, people.
My balcony's right here.
2 and 3 never happened, by the way, for the record.
Cool. I would
Matrix
like to
1.
I would like to think if you take Matrix
cool.
2 and 3 and then cut them into one movie, you might make a good movie out of it.
I have a little bit of a hard time believing
yeah,
it.
That's a... Yeah.
You just play 3 hours of machines over and over again.
In my opinion, the first Matrix was the perfect
movie. That's where
movie.
It should have stopped.
Oh, it was great.
But yeah. every other one just went down the toilet.
I would say that
with
those Animatrix shorts, some of them were pretty interesting.
Yo,
yeah.
The Animatrix was cool shit.
Yeah.
yeah no, that's fine. But, like, you know, it was like they tried the Wachowski brothers.
They're not brothers anymore.
Right. Siblings.
Siblings.
Hey,
tried to make a great philosophically deep movie
I'm
in the first one.
Guy.
And they did sort of at least succeed with the first one. The first one's a really good movie.
Yeah.
But, like, they tried to make this grandiose trilogy, and it's one of the most spectacular flameouts from, like, artistic vision to, like, pathetic realization that I've ever seen in my entire life. It's truly staggering.
And what strikes me is that they wrote it as a trilogy.
Yeah.
So was it always that fucked up?
I think that's them bullshitting. I don't think
they say they wrote it as a trilogy, but they made the first movie so that it could end there just in case it flopped.
If that was the case, then they're smart either way, because a lot
I
of times...
I think it should have just ended there. Why
yeah.
can't there be just one fucking movie without... Okay, money. I answered my own question.
Yeah,
but
money.
Yeah,
I was totally going to rob the money train. Right,
even then, it's not as if you know. Okay, while in most cases sequels are just money grabbing, there are a few cases where they aren't. Like the whole
Lord
inspiration for the Matrix. No, well, that's different because that was already three books. Okay, but the Matrix, the whole Matrix idea was essentially inspired very, very heavily and directly by the Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah,
film.
Of course. They
okay.
said it. They said
yeah.
Cyberpunk, Ghost in the Shell.
No, right. But
yeah.
but the thing about it is, and I mentioned this in my Pat Labor article, and I'll mention it more when I actually get to talking about the Ghost in the Shell films. Mamoru Oshii, the director, he's known as being, like, the absolute black sheep of Japanese animation because the guy, like, does not give a fuck about what will be popular or what, like, action. He cares about exploring, like, his, like, interesting debates about, like, philosophy.
Yeah.
That's all he gives a damn about,
yeah.
okay? So if you watch the original Ghost in the Shell film, that movie's not it looks like it's a cyberpunk movie, but it's not actually. The movie's actually about existentialist philosophy,
yeah,
basically,
it is.
Right? It's entirely about the meaning of immanence and transcendence, as like in philosophical concepts. He made a second one like 10 years later. It took him 100 millennia to get the second movie out because the guy was so obsessive compulsive. He hand inspected every cell of the animation for the entire film, which is.
How was the second one?
Well, yeah, but
the
if he doesn't
one,
do that, you're going to end up with a movie where
a lot of people
giant
don't
tits.
Like it.
A lot of people don't like it.
Frankly, right? I found the first one boring.
You're missing what's going on.
I'll watch it again. Yeah. The circumstances weren't great. Right. But, okay.
The second is really hard to understand.
You were the ghost in the
A lot
shell.
Of people
but
don't
I've seen
like
the series, and I love it.
Well, the TV series is quite different, though. TV series follows the manga much more directly. So it's not nearly as much of a treaty. Yeah. It's good. It's just different. The films, Mamoru Oshii's films, aren't about what they appear to be about. They're about philosophy, and the films are just the cover of him talking about philosophy. The second Pat Labor movie is actually a great example of that, where it's the second Pat Labor movie is like basically about another one of his philosophical treatises. But the second Ghost in the Shell film is really great, but a lot of people don't like it because it's so fucking hard to understand.
That's Innocence, right?
Yeah, Ghost in the Shell, Innocence. Yeah. It's incredibly difficult to understand. Like, I'm actually familiar with existentialist philosophy, and even I have trouble with the second one.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, it's it's actually... But that's an example of a director who can get away with being very philosophical in their movies and making their movies parables about things, but actually sort of mostly make it work. The Wachowski siblings... kind of fell to pieces with the second and third Matrix films.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they just tanked. The movies are bad.
Hard.
Like, I just remember, like, watching The Matrix in friggin', like, grade 9 English, and I was like, this fucking movie's just awesome.
But part of the beauty of the first Matrix was how deep it was. And I don't mean, like just...
It definitely wasn't Keanu Reeves acting.
I don't mean, like...
But the first Matrix film really worked because playing a spaced-out idiot... who didn't know what the fuck was going on was the role.
Exactly, that's the thing.
It was the role,
and the action was down. He was.
It was part of your saying.
He wasn't actually acting.
No, right.
He was just being himself.
He was good for
just
that.
Just to really bash that one.
And did a Keanu. Anyway, my point is, when I say the first movie was deep, I mean story wise, yes. But it's like they studied each frame. They actually intricately storyboarded that entire film, and possibly the second. Or the first and second sequel as well. But anyway, if you look at the frames, like the things that are in the frames and how they're placed, I love a film where people think about all that shit. Like when that guy comes to Neo's door with the chick with the tattoo,
the rabbit,
right? Neo goes to deal him that fucking cassette, whatever it was. He opens the book. What's the book? Simulation and Simulacra. That's what he pulls the fucking cassette out of. It's all those little things that I love because they thought that shit out. Because that was another influence for the story.
Yeah. See, when you do shit like that, you're
Easter
the
eggs, man.
Yeah.
That's the best.
It's all about that. Because it gives... It's good to do that because it also gives replay value.
Yeah.
Where you can watch something more than once and get more out of it the second or third times.
What the fuck is that? I actually had that with one...
Farscape, the season 4 of Farscape is totally that.
Oh, yeah.
You have to watch the season 4 of Farscape twice. Because the first time, you'll miss at least half of what's going on. Whereas the second time, you'll catch all of the stuff that ties together that you missed the first time.
Mm. Yeah.
But even the Ghost in the Shell films are like that, too. Where, like, every time you watch it, you start catching different things. There's a lot of stuff that's like that. That's what it should be.
Mm. Yeah. Exactly.
It's not like that now, though. Like
that attention to craft is neglected.
Now Twilight's
the best sellers. That also makes it so the fans become more interested in it as well.
Yeah.
The Easter eggs are like the most fun part for the fans. It's like you're going in and you're experiencing it again. Like, the reason why I liked Batman Arkham Asylum the most was because being a Batman fan, people who just played the game because it was a good game... got a different experience other than me seeing all the little Easter eggs. Like, Ra's al Ghul was in the morgue. When you leave and come back, he's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Did anybody catch
that?
That's
kind of cool, yeah.
He's actually in one of the... I don't know what the fuck they call them. When you're in a morgue and you're in the
body
vault.
Bag.
You're in a body
locker,
bag, but you're
right?
In the wall.
The freezer.
Yeah, I don't know what they're called.
Put him back
and
in the
there's a little tag on his foot, and if you walk by, you go, holy shit, it's Ra's al Ghul. You continue the game, and then you gotta go back there later on. He's not there anymore. It's actually fucking wicked.
Mm-hmm. I love little shit like that.
Like, stuff like that is like, oh, that's cool.
Mm. You know, I would actually like to suggest another anime movie, since you were talking about Pat Labor and Ghost in the Shell. This is something I actually watched thanks to Teletoon, oddly enough, back in the day. And it's called Wings of Hinayamas. That is a very, very good movie, so...
Yeah, that's a really good film, actually. Mm.
And despite one really awkward scene... which I'm sure anyone who watches the movie will know what scene I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, no, that's a great film.
Oh, that scene's awkward as fuck.
Really?
No.
I didn't just guess that.
No,
okay.
No.
Wow. Butt fucking is always.
Is it awkward? Is it, everyone watched Death Note here, right?
Oh yeah, I haven't watched it, but
I know about it though. Go nuts. Okay.
Yeah, I understand what happened.
Who has it? Wait, Jay, have you watched it?
I'm never gonna watch.
I've read Death Note. I have not watched it.
Okay, never
we watched.
I watched
okay,
Cowboy Bebop.
I was talking about the scene where he was like wiping his feet.
Oh no, I've seen that scene.
Oh man, that was
that's awkward.
That was that there because it was supposed doing. To be like it was like the whole Judas thing or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I got that. It was whole like he's gonna betray him. He's washing his feet.
But that whole thing, that wasn't in the manga, I'm pretty sure. I don't remember
that
being
in
the manga.
Yeah, that was awkward. And again, I said this probably two podcasts ago, the last episode, disappointing, man. Disappointing. It's like the,
ooh, it was
it's
awesome.
Like the last minute, they put all this into the series, last minute, they're like,
in fucking Last Exile?
Yeah, but that happens with, like, that happens with a lot of TV
like
shows
in general.
Yeah, I know.
Like, no, but, see, I agree with you, but with anime, I don't let it get away that easily. Because I love anime because of how much they put into it. There's a lot of attention to craft there, and the stories. I think the stories are more inspiring. Or how should I say this?
You need to watch Cowboy Bebop.
I have it. I own it.
Watch
I've watched it.
More
they
so
inspire
more
me. They inspire. And they're more meaningful, and they inspire me more consistently than most other shit. I can pop in an anime and love it and be in that world and enjoy it. And the story is thought out and it's not 10 million seasons long. It starts and ends and it's good, right?
Well, the thing I like the most about anime series particularly is the long form storytelling.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the telling of a long, continuous story arc because you very rarely get that on Western television.
Yeah,
because
most shit gets canceled before it gets good.
Yeah,
like Firefly.
Episodic television doesn't really do it for me.
Speaking of canceled, I gotta bring this up. Netflix had an opportunity to revive.
Oh, yeah, they're like, fuck that!
And they said, fuck no!
It's too expensive.
Well, why would they? What's the point? It wasn't even good.
No, I'm just saying.
It'd be like them throwing their money
away. I'm not even gonna make an argument that Terra Nova was good. All I'm saying is just funny.
Okay, at least they're failing to renew something that was bad. Sci-fi, on the other hand, seems singularly possessed of the desire.
Yeah. Can we talk about the
one desire
for a second?
To watch their network.
I know it wasn't on the list, and I know I'm just interjecting. And
wait.
It's already 10:30.
What were the numbers? What were the hardcore numbers? Did they get something like 2-3 million views on that trailer in 6 hours or something like that? What were the numbers?
There was a shit ton of views on that.
I read the numbers and I go, wow, that's a no-brainer.
It lit up the internet like crazy.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
It did. No,
and the response from Sci-Fi was, no, fuck you guys. Web series.
Yeah.
Are you fucking serious?
What the fuck?
Like, so... What do they want? Do they want us to, like, literally go to their office as a group of fans and blow them and be like, we want you to make the fuck, please, we'll suck
dick
for fucking
Blood and Chrome. They had a really good, interesting concept for that prequel. Could have been done well.
But this is Sci-Fi we're talking about. Should this surprise anyone? This is the network that canceled Farscape on a cliffhanger. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
These people.
Also, to be fair, they also canceled, Sliders in a cliffhanger, but
but their reasoning was different. They canceled Farscape on a cliffhanger for exactly the same reason they're not making Blood and Chrome,
money.
Which is we're not willing to invest the money to make this, even because there's the outside potential that we might not make it back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Look, if you had some confidence in yourself actually producing something of quality, it would sound like hotcakes. I mean, in retrospect, how smart does their decision to have canceled Farscape look, considering the ridiculous sales it got on DVD and Blu-ray as soon as it came out? Same thing with this. If they would have done a good job making this show, they would have made money hand over fist on it. But they're just not willing to take the risk. They'd rather be safe, mediocre, and put on direct that's cheap to produce that actually take the risk to try and make something good, and that offends the shit out of me.
Yeah, what does web series what does it mean
so, okay,
when they say that? What are they
basically
to?
Now you're gonna get like 3 hours worth of fucking Blood and Chrome and a high five at the end.
But is it like web series like the Mortal Kombat web series? Like
no.
Each episode's like 3 minutes?
It's
episode's 3 minutes.
It's a sci-fi web series, which means that they're probably gonna release a half an hour every week for a month and a half. And
I thought it was I thought it was shorter than that because I know
it'll be like
I think
BSG,
it was 15 minutes.
It'll be like the BSG web series. It'll be like 15 fucking minutes every week for
you know what's
a
funny is that the Mortal Kombat web series is
was awesome.
Made in Vancouver.
It was awesome.
Starring a whole bunch of BSG people including fucking Hilo
and
it's
awesome.
They brought his shit.
The guy who played Raiden. Anyway,
it's awesome.
It's a good series.
It's awesome.
And fucking Seven of Nine.
The thing is, this is sci-fi. They're not going to make a good website. They're just going to be like, yeah, this is what happens. Okay, yeah, it's done. Because they're dumb. Dumb.
Well, let's try to be optimistic. Maybe if this web series actually does well, I like to try and be optimistic because there are times where things...
No, it's sci-fi.
Okay, just let me finish.
Let him finish. No, you're right. Your argument has already...
I understand. Sci-fi, they're dicks, but whatever. Like, I want to be optimistic because there are times where I'm surprised by things. Like, Farscape did eventually get a conclusion, right? Firefly did eventually get a pseudo-conclusion, even though it wasn't something that I really... It was more of a forced conclusion because what else are they going to do? And
I will never forgive Fox.
Maybe if the web series does well enough, if it gets enough hype behind it, enough power behind it, they'll actually make something out of it after.
I will not watch Fox.
Can I say something about prequels though? That
I don't.
You guys can tear me out on this one, but I actually, and I mentioned this to Jay before, I actually don't like watching prequels
because
I feel like it doesn't really have anything to offer me in terms of story because I know where it eventually ends up. So, like, I'll use an example from Spartacus prequel, where, like, there was, like, a whole thing going on, and then Crixus, one of the characters, was injured, but then I know he's already in season one, which
die.
Is the...
Right.
After, so you know he's not gonna die.
I understand.
So, like, you kind of feel like you're watching it, but it's like, you know what's gonna happen.
The only character you would have known in Blood of Chrome...
Of getting there isn't that exciting for me.
The only character you would have known in Blood of Chrome, though, would have been Adama.
Yeah,
because Saul Kai is not with him.
But you know
war.
Where it's going to end
yeah.
up.
Yeah, you know where you know that.
Yeah, no,
yeah, but that's not the
you know
point,
that Adama's. You got to remember.
Well,
you got to hold on a second. Adama got kicked out after the Cylon whatever war was. He's not in the army after that
he has
war.
A dirty porn star stuff.
He's fucking. Remember him and Saul Kai are like hanging on an oil rig somewhere, and they're like, yeah, we're burly.
Yeah, then he married back into the military.
Yeah,
he's got to get his war-torn face from somewhere.
He married back into the military, and he fucking, like, got a battle star. And it was a shitty battle star. And then he went past the red line.
Better than nothing.
Ground beef.
Massive spoilers. The point is...
We know his storyline. It's a great storyline.
You would have known Commander Adama's storyline. You would have known that this guy started out as a Viper pilot, and he eventually becomes a commander.
Right.
That's all you would have known.
But to me, that's the whole interesting thing with prequels.
Well,
I want to know how these people became who they became.
And you got to remember, like, the Final Five got there right when the Cylon War started.
Exactly.
So, like,
they could just
you'll actually
right
get to see, like,
what the
Final Five were thinking when this shit just hit the fan. Because they just come out of, like... Cryo and
don't
the shit hits the fan.
Oh, that would be fascinating.
There's so much
levels.
Potential for storyline that it's dumb that they're not making a series.
Because I would love to
you
see
might
what
actually
the rest of the Final Five were like with all their memories.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's so much potential to
and
be
you'd
like,
actually get to see the what was
due
it,
diligence
the Cylon
the
or something?
Five.
The one guy who
yeah,
was
the one that got boxed, the artist.
The guy who got get boxed. He got beyond boxed. He got fucking fried.
No, that's what they call it. Isn't it?
Yeah, they said boxed.
Okay, but
he was just like.
But who's heading this up? Because you guys are putting a lot of
sci-fi is not doing it. They are.
Hey,
not
no,
doing
I mean like who's
Edward
heading up
James
the web
Olmos
series is actually heading up the web.
I'm
series?
Pretty sure it's Edward James Olmos.
Yeah.
Was he? Wait a second.
He's involved
what?
In it.
He is.
But he's involved in it. Yeah.
He's involved.
That guy's
in it,
fucking
I mean,
opinionated, and he's got some power. I'm surprised. Like, was he part of the prequel production before it got?
You mean Caprica?
No, I'm talking about.
I think
Blood
he
and
was.
Chrome.
Yeah, I think he was.
I don't know. Maybe they'll reevaluate because of the retarded amounts of fan support that fucking.
No, they already came out and said they're not.
Yeah, but you don't know. Sci-fi's
yeah, but people say that all the time. Nintendo
Sci-fi's
said
dumb.
They weren't going to bring Xenoblade over, and what do you know? Fucking Xenoblade and Last Story.
I wonder.
Over.
Nintendo also decided to release their next gen console with the same specs and graphics wise as the ones that are already. Existed.
I wonder how much Caprica flopping.
Which I don't fault them for.
No, a huge amount.
Because
you know
Caprica
what?
Was
Caprica's
the first
a
episode
console.
Of Caprica was retarded.
Caprica's a shitty console.
Okay, but
disappointingly,
but Caprica so. Is a, look. Other than the fact that there's like
a rave,
a robot
like, going on?
In
yeah.
it that gets a person's personality put into it. Caprica has nothing fucking to do
exactly.
with Battlestar Galactica.
Exactly.
It's a soap opera that happens to be set
yeah,
in the same
it's got,
universe.
It's got undertones.
It has no connection whatsoever.
Caprica could have been one episode where it's like, this is why the Cylons believe in the one true God. Because this one chick who was part of a faction that did that,
which is, by the way,
contrary to the pagans, got their consciousness
yeah.
is in a fucking Cylon.
By the
and
way,
that's
actually wrong. For the record, if you actually understand the
yeah,
series, that explanation
wrong.
For why the Cylons believe in the one true God is wrong. That's not the right answer.
Enlighten our listeners.
Well, I'm
no,
no it's like,
I'm glad
no,
I'm glad you're wrong.
It's like don't listen. Yeah, that's like don't listen. That's a discussion.
Right?
Yeah, that's
no one needs
article.
To watch Caprica. Don't watch.
Yeah,
Caprica.
I'll write an article about that.
I want
like,
to look forward to Laura's article because I am.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. I would buy Caprica on Blu-ray, but I'm not going to because I'm just going to read your article.
Don't do that.
No.
All right, so
don't buy Caprica because it has nothing to do with BSG.
So I heard you went out and bought a digital camcorder.
Oh, God. This was a fucking atrocity of a shopping experience.
Did you go to Best Buy? Is that it?
No. Come on now. No. So, okay, so like when I got to buy technology.
Hey-o.
Yeah, I despise Best Buy, but that's a whole different story. Listen.
Who likes
Best Buy? When I got to go and invest in a piece of technology like, you know, a digital camera, a computer, whatever it is. I like to do my research beforehand and figure out, you know, where am I going to get the best value for money?
Like any intelligent person.
Yeah, you don't want to go to a store and say, like, what has the most megapixels? And this guy's like, well, this one's got 5 million of them.
Right.
And you're like, oh, that's good. I'm going
to
get that one.
Because some dick Best Buy employee will upsell you to something that's worse but more expensive, not because they make commission.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, they don't even make commission.
They screw you for entertainment value so they can laugh to their buddies after.
That's all they got.
Right, because it's all they got because they work at Best Buy. Anyway, that's not the point. Okay? The point here is this. If you want to buy a digital photo camera, there's like 50 sites out there that do reviews of every new digital fucking camera that comes out. So you can go and get comparative reviews by experts of every camera in a price class. So you can see, you know, what are the pros and cons of each and which one do you want. I spent fucking 4 hours trying to research which digital camcorder to buy, and I could not find one relevant review of any of them. The only reviews I could fucking find, hidden behind 12 pages of, like, web spam for each fucking model, which was already enraging enough, were, like, reviews by individuals who bought the product. It's like, I couldn't give any less of a fuck what your opinion is because this is the first digital camcorder you've bought.
Yeah.
Your previous camcorder used tapes. So you have nothing to compare this to. So you have no idea how it compares to other cameras in its class. So your opinion is completely irrelevant. It's a fucking atrocity.
I'm pretty sure
I basically ended up having to buy a camera on blind faith. And I really don't like that.
It's not going to get easier. For camcorders, it won't. Because now our fucking phones are doing the work. You know what I mean? So people, that market is going to fizzle.
Yeah, for the longest time, what was it? The flip cams?
Those Mino HD things?
Yeah, those things were popular. Not because they were good, but because they were portable and they did pretty decently. Like, they could record half-decent 720p video.
Yeah.
Right, but I think what's even worse to me is the poisoning of the well that's going on. If you go and try and find reviews for things now, what you're likely to see for the first few pages in a lot of areas where there's not like a lot of established expert websites are fake reviews by basically advertising sites. And so the well's absolutely poisoned at this point. So it's like a lot of the online reviews you see are fake.
Yeah. And even when you're looking at, say, like Newegg, for example, you'll see the product reviews that people put there themselves, but you'll get some people who actually know what they're talking about. They say, okay, this product is good because of this, this, and this. And then other people who rate the product 1 star because, the packaging was slightly dented, but the thing worked fine. Just the package was dented, 1 star.
And my camera's like silver and not chrome, so...
A lot of the bad ratings are from people who are too stupid to know how to actually use the product inside the packaging.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of bad reviews that were like, the software won't install. And
the software won't install on my iPhone.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the problem we live in a world today. We got people who review on a scale of 1 star and 5 stars. There's no in between.
Right.
I mean, oh geez, I actually got shit today for some of the review that I posted for Ninja Gaiden 3 because like a little bit of a horror, I posted on the Ninja Gaiden fan site on Facebook and someone was like,
"You're trying to get stabbed?"
I was trying to get stabbed. Apparently, someone was like, "Reviews don't matter." It's like, yeah, you know, reviews don't matter. If you enjoy the game, that's your problem.
If you enjoy a game that's been dumbed down,
shut the fuck up. What was this on? And when can I attack this guy?
Don't attack anybody.
He doesn't need to be on part of the website.
Or whatever.
All I'm saying is... on open flaming of other people.
A review is not a beat. If you attack any
member of the TYG team, I will fucking gut you like a fucking salmon.
No, he won't. He can't even open a beer with his bare hands.
Remember, kids, this is the man who admitted himself that he was completely delusional. So don't worry about it.
To play devil's advocate here, I'm not saying you're wrong. In fact, I agree with you. But the photo and video imaging industry is notorious for purporting all the features that their cameras are capable of
in their language. Like, people, like, we had this whole thing about resolution and shit. No, 90% of people don't understand resolution whatsoever.
I filmed videos.
They don't understand all these fucking letters and numbers that they put on the box in bold colors and big fancy font. And so people buy things based on how many features there are and how magnificent they sound. But you have to be either a professional or a well-versed internet reader or video watcher or whatever to actually get what all that shit means.
You have to be an enthusiast.
You would take the initiative when you tried to do it, right?
Yeah.
But to make sense of it, you actually have to do your homework. Mm-hmm. Even before you go to get a product, read about what all that shit means.
Right.
And then you look up the product.
Absolutely. But that's what
I'm not saying you did it. Yeah. Just in general.
But that's what I do with any kind of equipment. But what I was saying, the whole thing is with the digital photo cameras, there are a lot of expert sites out there that will review every camera that comes out.
Yeah.
So when I got my own digital camera, I had like some Canon PowerShot. I don't even remember which model it is. But I went and I saw the thing was on sale, and I saw that it had great reviews in its price class at its normal price. At the sale price, it was a ridiculous deal. So I drove to I drove over an hour to get to some like out of the way Best Buy to get the thing because nobody else had it in stock because they sold like hotcakes.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It just pisses me off when you get to an area where it's like where you just can't find the information because then you're just taking a roll of the dice.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're going to get.
And you're horrible.
I actually ran into this problem with the PVRs because I was looking for a PVR first to capture video for Xbox 360s and PS3 footage. But all these reviews, they were saying, okay, well, this one, there's not enough information for stuff like that. There's tons of reviews if you want to figure out what PVR is good for you, if you want to record television. If you want to record video game footage,
you're fucked.
No one will help you. You have to dig real fucking deep to find it. And I eventually found a pretty decent, not the best one, but a reasonable costing one that does what we need it to do.
Look, the bottom line is I feel really bad for the technologically ignorant because you exist in a world where ravaged.
It's all this marketing too that
it's like when people used to come into where I worked and said, so does this one have Wi-Fi?
Remember when they wanted the 3 gig iPhone?
The 3 gig iPhone. Oh, I'm like, oh come on.
Well, they take advantage of the fact that people don't know it.
Are you kidding?
They bank on it.
But you know, the irony is actually, I think it's actually sort of ironic because they've done a lot of like consumer research studies on this shit, and actually those people will be perfectly happy with what they get. They'll be happy with what they get because they don't know any better.
They don't know any better.
So they don't know any better to know that what they got was an inferior product.
Yeah.
It's those of us who actually have the sense to figure out what's good and what's not that where if we buy something and find out that we got ripped off for the money, we'll be pissed.
Buyer's
remorse runs real.
If you buy something and don't have at least a couple of days of buyer's remorse before you're found with it, then you know you're doing it wrong.
But it's funny because even when you know you got the best one, you're still out there trying to find something better.
No, even this.
And that's what I do all the time. It fucking pisses
even
me
when
off.
I bought this phone, I bought the Galaxy S2X from Telus, and I was like, okay, this is the best phone available from Telus at the time. I had incredible buyer's remorse. I was like, oh god, what am I going to do? What if the Nexus comes out? Nexus comes out on Telus like 3 weeks later. I was like, shit. But in the end of the day, I didn't mind as much because the Nexus actually has a worse camera than my phone, and I don't need to have the newest operating system. I just wanted to have...
But until you knew that...
No, I already knew that. I already knew that because the Nexus has a 5 megapixel.
That's the irony. It's those of us who care that will end up like we have to get the best value for money or we're going to be pissed.
The ignorant will
be happy with whatever they end up with as long as it doesn't not work at all.
To quote Cypher from The Matrix 1.
God damn it!
It's
a little older than that.
I know, a little
further back, but...
I'm just saying.
Here's your anvil back that you just dropped on the audience.
Yes. Are you happy with your camcorder?
Yeah, it seems to work all right. I mean, I don't know. But again, my problem is I don't have any idea if I could have gotten something much better for the money.
Would you like to pimp your camcorder on the live air streams of the internet?
Sure. It's Sony HDR CX190.
Sponsor us.
Yeah. It seems like it's pretty good. I mean, I like some of the features on it. It seems all right. The only thing I don't like with any of these HD camcorders is that the batteries last for like 3.5 minutes.
Yep, and they only give you one, and then they want you to buy two more.
Right. And that's like that's
I want the camera with the most GBs.
Yeah. You enjoy spending like a lot of money for built-in hard drives.
Yeah.
Ooh. The built-in hard drive cameras are like $600.
Oh yeah, I know. I was literally just being like
it's, don't even
Don't even bother with those. It's better to just use detachable media.
Yeah, SD is getting really good nowadays. SD cards specifically, they got those high speed ones. Very good. Yeah. You don't need fucking cassettes anymore.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, 32 gigs, $60. Who cares, right? I mean, at that point, you're covered. So
I brought up the Nintendo, and I saw Jay had something to say about it. Lorenzo also had something to say about it. The Nintendo Wii U.
Yeah.
So do you guys want to talk about that?
I have to renege myself in this entire fucking.
Well. What was your argument? You were saying that, like, oh, they're releasing something with hardware that's very similar to the PS3 and the Xbox right now?
Yeah, and I know what their position is. I know they're trying to...
They're doing... Yeah.
A system that's based around their interactivity.
Yeah.
I get that.
But, like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure Lorenzo was going to say this. The reason... Because I think I'm psychic. But I think the reason why they're doing that is because the cost of development, we were talking about this earlier, is so fucking high that we're just now getting in this generation to where costs are lowered enough where you could, like, license the Unreal Engine to run on your stuff. If they gotta try to push the new hardware market first, what companies are gonna pay to develop for that? No one's gonna pay to develop for that. Right?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's very simple. I actually don't really give that much of a fuck about, like, newer, higher-end graphics. Like, they're nice, they're shiny, whatever, but to me, I care about gameplay.
Yeah.
Okay? So, it's the same reason why I have I bought a DS because they re-released a bunch of old turn-based RPGs on it, okay? Nobody's gonna sit around and call the graphics of, like, Chrono Trigger on Super Nintendo, like, comparable to a PS3 game. But I'll tell you one thing, the gameplay is sure as hell much better than most of the RPGs that are on modern consoles. So, to me, if the gameplay is good, and if I'm happy. Now, that's probably not going to be the case because the interactivity and has turned out to largely be a gimmick and hasn't really worked that well in a lot of the games or whatever. But I'm saying, in principle, I don't give a fuck if a new system has more graphics power because that's just focused on one aspect of the video game industry. To me, I'm much more interested in the quality of the gameplay experience than I am in the shiny new graphics.
Yeah. And personally, I think they're in a very good position to do it right now because we're in a very extended generation, and sure, they might be trying to push PS4s and fucking Xbox 720s soon, but who's going to buy that? Like, really?
I am.
You're going to? No, you're not.
Nope, not really.
Probably not even. Honestly,
But the Wii U?
I didn't buy a PS3 until,
PS4 or the Xbox 720 or whatever these new systems are.
I'm not buying the PS4 right away. I might buy the 720.
I just...
But why? Why would you do that? I mean,
I thought Microsoft announced there was no 720.
Not yet.
Not this year. There will not be no 720.
Come a graphics tour.
But let's.
I think really gives. Nintendo
let's take it
an
back a moment.
Advantage.
Let's take it back a moment. Well, it doesn't, because Nintendo's not going to release a new system even when the PS4 and the 3 720 come out.
Yeah, I get it.
But let's take it back a moment. Okay, what came out? What happened when the 360 came out as opposed to the PS2 and the fucking Xbox?
No, I get it. Nintendo
you got
sales.
Games like Perfect Dark Zero, which looked like shit. And what, Cameo, which looked okay because it had a lot of bump mapping, and King Kong. Those weren't good games. I mean, what's going to happen? They're not going to release Halo 4 for the 720.
No. I know what you're saying.
They already announced it's going
to
be
a while to get to that point. The costs are going to be high, which is fine. And, like, I agree with the game. I think I just think Nintendo's kind of cutting themselves short on the shelf life of their system. Because the Wii could have had a better... Because for me, the Wii's been dead for 5 years, since it came out.
Yeah, I sold mine.
Because I logistically,
felt
like...
To you, the Wii's been dead since you come out. But let me... I'm sorry to interrupt you here, but let me use my...
I'm sorry. You played what? One other game? You played No More Heroes.
Yeah, I played... You want to know how many games I played on that?
I played No More Heroes, too, and I enjoyed
played No
it,
More
but
Heroes,
it's still a dead
Super
system.
Mario Galaxy, Twilight Princess, what was... What
still,
else
I don't
play?
Know, man. It's not enough.
New Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Also, Fortune Street's a good game. Good game.
Yeah. I played Super Mario Strikers.
Those are all Nintendo.
I played
those
Fire Emblem, Radiant Dawn. I played...
Those are almost all Nintendo exclusives.
Yeah.
Right, and those are also all games where Nintendo's been flogging the ashes of, like, long-dead franchises repeatedly.
But they're not the only ones to do that. I mean, look, Sega's been beating that dead horse of Sonic the Hedgehog for so long.
Right, but my point is Nintendo used to innovate. They used to innovate, and they used to focus on gameplay. So while their games didn't necessarily always have the best graphics compared to other systems, you at least got innovative gameplay experiences.
No, I agree.
And now they don't even have that. Now they just keep releasing the same games on generation-old hardware.
Yeah.
So it's like, in principle, I don't have a problem with the, like, not having any more power than the current generation of consoles, because I don't give a fuck. But the way Nintendo's doing it is basically, in reality, just a cash grab.
Yeah.
Honestly, the Wii I think I maybe played
it's a different market.
Games.
It's
and
a really
like,
different market.
I had that thing sitting unplugged, and I was like, I gotta fucking get rid of you because I feel fucking guilty just having you sitting here doing fucking nothing because there's nothing I want to play on you, and I just, you're a fucking waste of my time. That's why I don't give a fuck what comes out on it. I'm never buying the Wii U. I don't give a fuck.
I'm buying a day one because I'm stupid.
No,
it can literally come with fucking free blowjob from every porn star ever. I won't buy it.
I'm for sure I'd buy it.
What if it's Megan Piper?
I don't know, fuck.
But I don't know.
I'm never buying another Nintendo system ever again.
Yeah, because
because that was the worst bastardization of $100 I've ever fucking done. Ever.
It was more than $100.
I disagree that it's a bastardization. It was going for a
I will
market.
Never give them any more money. I don't give a fuck.
What did it do that was so terrible? That
fucking system. That fucking right there.
At least, honestly, like, I might be causing a little bit of a war here. At least it didn't break down 35% of the time for the first
time. Well, yeah, but it's like Microsoft.
Yeah.
Wait a second. My Microsoft broke down because I used it like a dirty, filthy skank.
No, it broke down because they made faulty fucking systems.
But you're saying that if you use a girl like a dirty, filthy skank, she will break down.
Yeah,
ran that ass to the ground.
You ran that ass to the ground.
I gotta get a new ass.
My first Xbox lasted me 3 fucking years, and I used to play like 12 hours straight every day. So, my Xbox had no fucking issues. I have no problem with Microsoft.
Yeah,
my
you have horseshoes.
Whatever. My Wii did fucking nothing ever, and it was a waste of fucking money. So I will never buy anything from Nintendo again, unless it's, like, so awesome that I can't be like, nah, I don't need this. Because everything Nintendo's done with the Wii, I've been like, go fuck yourself. And you...
Everyone has a personal opinion.
No, they really did that in the No More Heroes series.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Did.
Everyone has their own opinion, but I really feel like Nintendo let me down with
this. Oh, yeah, they're dead to me.
They let me down.
Oh, yeah, we should talk about
that. I know we've been talking about this for a while.
It's my personal opinion.
Yeah, everyone's got a different opinion. Like, I personally did not buy that many games for the Wii. It literally petered off once.
The last game I bought was Battalion Wars.
The last... I bought that for, like, $10. The last game I purchased for the Wii, well, oddly enough, was Skyward Sword. But I think the last game I was actually excited for on the Wii was No More Heroes 2. Since then, there's really been very few games that I purchased for it, but they're not the same market that we are.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
This is the other thing. Now they're getting, like, third-party developers to develop for the Wii U, right?
Yeah, because it's easy to port.
Right, it's easy to port. But, like...
You had the same thing
in the
Wii's start, because all the PS2 games were still on.
Right.
You're gonna get Julian Michaels' workout.
But
like,
I'm not going to play any game that comes out on a 360, and I hate my 360, or a PlayStation 3, which I love like it's retarded, on a Wii U, when I would rather play it on those two other systems. I already have them.
That I can completely understand. There's no reason...
Having third-party developers now means fuck all to me, because guess what? I already have two fucking systems. So fuck you. Go fuck yourself.
There's a very good point.
I think the title of this podcast should be "Fuck you, ... Go fuck yourself."
No, you're right there because there's.
It means nothing to me.
At this point, you could buy a 360 and get the same experiences. That's true. Yeah.
I could steal one for fucking to like.
But let's be honest. What people will buy the Wii U for is for the things that Nintendo does with it. If they decide it's good enough for them to purchase it.
If Nintendo does anything with it that is, like, worth doing, Nintendo hasn't done anything worth doing in, like, fucking 20 years.
Anyway. Moving
okay,
on from
you know
this.
What? That's a bit...
But actually kind of fits into this theme of, like, not being so focused on graphics. I mean, I've seen the trailers for Dust 514, and the graphics don't look particularly revolutionary.
Actually reminds me of Mass Effect 1.
They look pretty, like, mediocre.
That's the tie-in game with Knight, right?
That is the MMO first-person shooter that is coming to the PS3 initially is an exclusive that is set in the same universe as EVE Online. And I think that's really interesting because the thing I expect them to excel at compared to the other existing shooters, probably, because CCP, which is the developer of both games, has their problems in balancing things. But I like the way they do customizability. So they've adopted some of the systems where, like, you can customize your different suits and different, like, vehicles in Dust 514 in kind of ways that are reminiscent of the way you customize ships in EVE Online, which is really cool. And it looks like the game actually looks like it's going to be pretty cool. We posted a video on our site of them showing one of the orbital bombardments, and I was happy to see that they figured out a way where the orbital bombardments had to be called in from the ground, and they could only be done from an orbiting satellite, not from the ships themselves in space. This was a very smart decision, because otherwise you were going to see Eve players bombing the entire surface of every dust planet for shits and giggles.
Yeah, they'd just be like, hey guys, what's up?
Boom. Hey guys.
It would be like constant ion cannon in every square foot of land.
Oh god, they glass every planet.
Essentially what happened is all the corporations would band together to ice a planet 24 hours a day.
Oh, yeah.
Your job is to ice
this entertainment value. They'd be like trying to make dust fail.
Some guy would spawn and be like, bleh.
Yeah, pretty much. But seeing that CCP has actually thought of this, what I'm interested to see from my perspective as an Eve player, who's not likely to play Dust 514 myself, is to see how they integrated into Eve Online. Because from what I'm guessing, it looks like they're going to integrate it into the sovereignty mechanic in Eve Online, where corporations can take over entire systems and regions of space. And anything would be an improvement over the existing sovereignty system in EVE Online, which is fundamentally really broken and boring, such that I avoid sov warfare like the plague. I will not get involved in any corporation that gets involved in it. I won't get involved in any alliance that does it, because it's the death of fun. It's placing ego building, because like the mechanics for territorial conquest in EVE Online require a lot of shooting at structures, which is really boring and takes a long time. So, to get involved with getting involved with Sov Warfare basically means inflating your internet ego above your actual gameplay experience. That's pretty much how it works. So it's the people who are more interested in being like, I have a giant E-peen and I'm part of an alliance that controls 3/4 of the North, and like we steamroll other alliances into the ground when we go to war with them. If that's what you value, then you'll put up with the soft mechanics as they exist. Otherwise, you're like, fuck that.
That's one of those things where like you're only really having fun if you're the side that's always winning.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That's how it works right now.
I can talk from personal experience when I played when I played Ragnarok Online with Guild Warfare. Like, the times when your alliances were losing were the shittiest times in the world. The times when you were rolling over people, those times were really fun. Like, I remember, like,
keep the good times rolling.
I remember doing specific things where I would, like, make people territory, like, because in the end, it was like a 2-hour period. I would, like, plan certain ways to make certain guilds, like, castleless, like just they'd have no property whatsoever, and I would message them like seconds before the war timers went down and say like, "Hey, where is your god now?" Not even if they're religious or not. It's like, "Where is your?" I would just
fuck. Yeah. We know where is your god now.
But then when they turned around and did it to me, I was like, "Yeah, I kind of deserve that, don't I?"
Yeah. No, I mean in Eve, I mean the people want to make space empires because they want to have a giant ego for it, but the mechanics of how you actually do are boring as shit. And so Dust 514 represents an opportunity. By integrating it into the EVE gameplay experience to actually kind of revisit those mechanics and try and make them better. But then again, CCP has been known for getting things wrong several times before they get them right. So, I mean, it's probably going to take multiple iterations before we get this to arrive at a point that actually works.
They're probably
going
to have to patch it a bunch of fucking times. I just like that you can fucking have like a corporation hire you as like a mercenary and intend you to go fucking kill some other guy, and if you win...
How far will you go to serve the Republic?
Yeah, exactly.
What I like
I don't give a fuck about the Republic. I just want to fucking shoot people. And if I shoot people and some guy who's paying me money gets a fucking mine, I give a fuck.
And supplying you with weapons
and
stuff.
I got money.
Because all the like weapons and equipment in Dust 514 is actually going to be produced by the EVE economy and delivered to planets by EVE Corps.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting.
It's pretty wicked. And I love that it's free to play.
I am now in, guys.
That's why it's only on the PC.
It's only going to be bad, though. Because eventually they will port it to the PC, and the instant they do, people on PS3 are not going to be able to play that game anymore, because people with mouse and keyboards are going to run around and be like, lol, headshot, you're dead.
Unless they
mouse, keyboard is definitely the way to go.
They could actually potentially do this. It's like a USB system. You could put it in a mouse and a keyboard in a PS3. I think you could actually play Unreal Tournament 3
on your couch.
It's not going to be a comfortable experience.
Right.
Hell, I played EVE even like
you need to be at a desk.
I'm just saying. I remember
PS3 on a fucking desk.
I remember being a little kid dialing up on my fucking Dreamcast to the Quake 3 servers on my fucking Dreamcast with my keyboard and mouse, being like, "Yeah, I'm doing it." When I could have just walked across the fucking room and played Quake 3 anyways. It was kind of dumb. I did it because I'm stupid.
Dreamcast.
I bought a keyboard for the Dreamcast, guys.
So the theme for this episode so far seems to be Jay is stupid.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's still fuck you.
I purchased Tribes 2 on the PS2 and the broadband adapter, so I am totally retarded, yes.
Wow. Honestly, I don't know. I think if it's done right, it could be really cool. I actually really just like how it's going to further fucking, like, cross-platform, massive multiplayer gaming.
Yeah,
like,
because that's what everyone wants.
I like
everyone
how I can be like Lorenzo, drop some fucking, shit. Actually, they should do in future, probably not. Right?
No, there's no.
He sees you.
That's going to be an interesting question: is how they're going to integrate voice comms.
Yeah.
Because in EVE Online, every corporation that actually PvPs at the very least has a TeamSpeak server where you log in and.
Or Ventrilo.
Not Red versus Blue.
Yeah, well, most use TS now.
The game doesn't have an actual built in game.
I'm assuming that Dust will for sure have.
I mean, EVE does too.
EVE does, but nobody uses it because it's there.
Red versus Blue does.
Yeah, it's. Oh God. The in game comm system, voice comm system in EVE is terrible. But I'm assuming they'll figure that out because they have to.
They have to for
PlayStation.
PS3.
But I don't understand. Being able to. But how are you going to be able to talk to people from if you play EVE if they're playing Dust 514? That's going to be tricky to figure out.
But that's Siri in that shit, man.
But that's a fun experience where, like, you're on the ground and, like, they're up above and you're fucking playing and you're playing two entirely different games. You're still talking about the same shit.
Yeah.
It's like, how's the mission down there going? It's going great. How are you doing up there? You know, it's kind of cool.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
I just thought of this. This is what they should implement. This would totally be ripping off Star Trek, but they should implement voice commands in Dust 514. We'd be like, computer, contact Lorenzo. I need a drop. And it'd be like, and you'd be like, whoa. It's like, holy shit. I want that shit, man.
Yeah,
implement fucking Siri in my PS3.
Put a Siri in my PS3.
Exactly. No, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would be wicked, but I don't think that's possible.
They're not going to do it. They're just gonna be like, yeah, okay.
I think it could be really well done.
Something else we should probably talk about, since it's something we were talking about doing, is the upcoming Season 2 Game of Thrones premiere.
When does that go on? When are we watching that? I don't know what time.
Isn't it April the 1st?
Yeah, but what time?
April 1st? That's like next week.
O'clock.
Yeah, I haven't even seen the first season.
This Sunday.
You haven't seen the first season?
Neither have I.
No.
You need to figure your shit out.
Really need to, like,
I don't have HBO.
Figure it out.
We need to power watch with these guys. So I'm down to watch it again.
Honestly, like, two people this podcast just suck terribly.
Yeah,
I'm not going to name names. But Steven.
Gee. No, you're not right.
Yeah, we actually want to. So on top of that, we want to do like a TYG Talks Game of Thrones. It's going to be, Song of Ice and Fire, we should
definitely
call it.
Definitely not listening to that.
No, you definitely should. It's actually going to have, like, in big caps, spoiler alert, because we're going to talk about all
and then
of the
I don't
books.
Give a fuck right underneath.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about all the books. We have a lot of stuff we want to talk about. So if you're interested in that, look forward to hearing that. And then
on the prequel thing, the thing I would want to see a prequel to most out of anything else is
Fire. Because they give you so many little bits.
All
that
the greatest characters in the entire series are like dead before the first book. Like, I just want to see the Sword of the Morning in action really badly.
Just dismantling Fate.
Yeah, just dismantling.
And,
I want to see
and
Robert,
the ones that are still alive suck. Like Robert Baratheon, you're just about to say.
But those of you who have seen
when he was younger, he was a beast.
Those of you who have only seen the TV series and haven't read the books don't understand what Robert Baratheon was like when he was younger. Because he looks like he's not, he doesn't look like he's that tall and he's, you know, fat and portly and old in TV series, middle age.
Now we're counting.
Right?
When you read,
in the book,
oh man,
he's like 6'2". He was built like an NFL linebacker and he walked around the battlefield with a fucking giant two-handed warhammer smashing people
with the fucking
left and right.
Yeah, he had the antlers on his head with the fucking full
like
helmet.
He was literally
boom,
hammered like through the chest plate of plate armor caving in people's chest cavities to kill them. Like, he was a beast.
Did he also say, "Where is your god now?" after doing it?
No.
Pretty much.
He basically was their god.
Yeah, it was bad.
But no, I totally agree, because you're right. In the story, you get
like, who just want to see Rhaegar Targaryen?
I want to see Rhaegar Targaryen too.
Like,
you get nice
so
little
badass.
Like tidbits that they talk
so
about.
Badass.
This guy was this in the past. This guy was whatever, and you hear about. But like, I would love to see
the
that
bold
play out.
When he was young.
I would love
because like Barristan
awesome
the Bold, yeah, I know. But imagine how much more awesome he was when he was young.
Let's hope that the author survives
so
to finish
stuff.
The series before the
like,
hey, it's
right.
How we're
don't
needed.
Fucking jinx this. You know how many fucking series have
shit.
Had this? Okay, like, I'm a fanatical fan of the Dune series of books, and I'm really mad that we never got the last book in the way it was supposed to be originally because the author died. Apparently, it happened with the Wheel of Time series too.
Yeah, Robert Jordan died.
Like,
so
book series are cursed.
Yeah.
So you know,
you have to get that shit.
Hey, Harry Potter ended. Just saying.
It did.
That's a good series.
Yeah. You know what? I actually have a lot more respect for that author than I thought, because didn't she, like, give away most of her money?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no,
it's
listen.
Like, whoa, what the hell? I would have done that.
No, I got respect for that, but I have disrespect for... The quality of the writing is actually not very good in lots of ways.
Uh-oh.
A lot of the ways... It is. A lot of the... She uses a lot of really bad storytelling devices to get through her books.
If you think Harry Potter is good literature, you need to go fuck yourself.
Uh-oh.
I enjoyed the movie.
I think we need to...
But, yeah. Whatever.
I think that's where we should cut it off.
You can't end the podcast and tell people to go fuck themselves.
No, you really need to. That's the best way to end it. Sign us off.
All right, this has been TYG Podcast.
I just said go fuck yourself. That is the sign.
Episode 18. Please email us your thoughts, comments, jokes.
And go fuck yourself. Don't email him jokes.
Podcast at thatsogarbage.com.
Don't do it. Don't email
or
him jokes.
Or any of our names at thatsogarbage.com.
Yes, there's no.
Communicate.
No, send it to podcast at thatsyourgarbage.com. But if you want to contact us, look for our name and thatsyourgarbage.com.
Comment on the website. We're lazy slobs.
All right, tune in for episode 19 where we're going to talk about, I don't know.
I don't know.
We're going to find out where the world is then.
We're going to talk about we're going to talk about tits.
Tits!
Yes.
Look forward to that.
Get the fuck out.